questions from the Bible. Join us on Bible Perspective every Friday at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. as we search for the answers.
Now, when you talk about prescriptive and descriptive scripture, one would then say, no, you got to understand everything in the Bible is not biblical. And you're like, hey, that's a contradiction of terms. What does that even mean? And so we're going to be trying to understand that when you read the Bible, is everything supposed to be copy and paste in our life today? Or some matters just for description, but which ones are those, and how do you differentiate between the ones that you must now apply, and are those prescriptive, or can one be descriptive and prescriptive? I don't know. We're going to be finding out the Bible perspective on descriptive and prescriptive texts here, and understanding of God's word. And joining us in this discussion is going to be my pastor, Mfundisi Madzorera. Pastor, good evening to you. Welcome and happy Sabbath.
Thank you. Happy Sabbath to you and the listeners as well.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Trusting that you are good and had an amazing week, a productive week.
Yeah, indeed.
Hallelujah. We praise God for that. Thank you once again, Mfundisi, for joining us in this discussion as we are going to be talking these very important matters on how to understand God's word so that we don't misapply what he is trying to say to us and blame him for misleading us and throwing us off. And you know, it's us who did not read properly. And maybe as we start off, let's make a base, Pastor, as we try to understand how much of the Bible is necessary for us. I mean, we are in 2024. How much of that is necessary? But before maybe you come through, shall we pray, Pastor? Maybe let's, I will pray as we start off this segment right here. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, we're so grateful that you care for us, you love us. I mean, you are the God in this relationship. You are the one who is supposed to be worshipped. We were hearing earlier on how you made man to worship and to praise you and to honor you. But yet you're the one who makes so much provision for us. You're the one who takes care of us. You're the one who goes the extra mile for us. And here you gave us your word to guide us and to keep us. And we're so grateful for all of that. And even this opportunity to go a bit deeper into your word, we are so grateful for it. And we pray now, Father, that you lead us and you guide us in understanding what it is that you would have us do, how you would have us apply your scriptures in our daily basis. Help us now is our prayer. Forgive us our sins in Christ's name. Amen and amen. Mfundisi, take us through. Is everything in the Bible necessary for us?
For starters, allow me to refer to this common text, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. It says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Okay, that is all scripture.
Okay.
And all scripture is profitable, okay, for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So that is the starting point. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. There is nothing that is not biblical that is in the Bible. So from Genesis to Revelation 22:21, everything that you're going to find in between is inspired of God, and it was given for our profit, for us to benefit from it, whether by correction, by rebuke, by correction, by instruction.
All right.
But everything is done so that we are thoroughly well equipped for every good work.
I like that. Everything is biblical, says the pastor. Maybe then talk to us. How can one learn to then rightly understand the context? I like how you're bringing it across. Everything is biblical, but I'm already having some portions of scripture that I'm thinking, hey, is not make sure, man, Solomon had 700 wives. Is that then meaning I must have 700 wives and 300 concubines? Yeah. You know, I'm already, so help me understand, Mfundisi, this idea of context and rightly applying on the different passages, because you're saying everything is biblical and this must be used for me. I don't want now our listeners to run away. You're saying, don't even finish the discussion I had. I will go and apply.
Thank you. Now, in fact, when we say everything is profitable, it doesn't mean that it's profitable only when we are doing what is in it.
Okay.
But I'll come to that later. Let me start by saying, firstly, when you are studying scripture, this is inspired material.
All right.
You don't study inspired material like you're reading a newspaper or your novel for A-level. Or your geography text and biology text. Inspired material has got its own principles that ought to be religiously observed for you to be able now to benefit from it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You are never going to benefit from inspired material if you are going to think it's just one of those other texts. So there are laid down principles that one need first of all to make sure they know about them, they understand them, and they apply them correctly as well.
Okay.
And the first one is very common. That is the sola scriptura principle.
Okay.
The Bible and the Bible alone. Allow the Bible to be its own interpreter. That's the second principle. In Latin, they say scriptura sui ipsius interpres.
Yay.
Allow the scripture to interpret itself. Okay.
Okay.
So then we have got the tota scriptura, which means when you are studying scripture, study it in its totality. If you just pick a portion and run away with it, you are most likely going to hit some potholes and it may not end well with you. So that's
okay.
Where you are going to find that there are some people who then say, because Solomon had 700 wives, so I'm also going to have 700 wives, because it's there in the Bible.
Yeah.
You have ignored the tota scriptura's principle, which says study the scripture in its totality. So what does the scripture teach upon a particular subject in its totality? When you have studied God's principles from Genesis to Revelation in regards to marriage, what does God say? What is his ideal? Okay. When you have established his ideal, then you say, okay, so what does it mean to me?
Mm.
Or what is it that I need to do or to be doing or not to be doing? If you establish that, then you know this is now what is prescriptive for me.
Yeah, and I think I like that, Mfundisi, some principles that you're giving us to say. But the challenge is, Mfundisi, I'm just wanting to find out this one question I'm having. I woke up with a question on my heart, and the pastor is saying, you must read the whole Bible. I'm just thinking when I'll be finishing that before I can then address my problem. Maybe let's define. I already heard you using these terms that we're going to be applying in today's study. Descriptive, prescriptive. They look like big words, but surely they're not that heavy. What do they mean?
Okay. We are going to take a prescriptive from what we are all familiar with.
Uh-huh.
Normally, when you go to the hospital, someone would say, I was given a prescription by my doctor. And
okay.
A prescription
okay.
is something that you are supposed to follow religiously. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. You must finish the course. They will tell you. Yeah.
The medicine is never going to work. So a prescription is a direct command which must be followed religiously. That's a prescription. So
okay.
You discover that the Bible also has got certain commands that are prescriptive. You don't do otherwise. You have to do as is said. The Bible has got such. Then also there are other portions of scripture that are descriptive. From the word describe, God is simply narrating to us how things happened or occurred.
Okay.
But not necessarily saying you must also do them. Because remember, the Bible is a narrative history of real men and women, sinful as we are, who lived on this earth. So if the Bible had only focused on the right thing that those people were doing, no one was ever going to take it as an authentic book of real people. It will be too utopian for it to be real. So God was honest enough and fair enough to present to us the lives of the patriarchs and those that came before us as is or as was. So when you come across a situation whereby one of God's men in the scripture diverted and took a route that God does not prescribe, you are then saying, what does the Bible teach in regards to this thing? The tota scriptura principle comes into play. Okay, so what does it mean? Is there anything that I'm being told about this narration? Is God saying I must also do it? Is it prescriptive? Or we are just being told that David killed Uriah? There is no other instruction which says, therefore you must kill others. It's simply
if you want their wives, kill them. Yeah. If you want their wives, kill them.
You see that? So those are the descriptive portions of scripture. Normally, it's easy for you to tell, because normally they are in direct contradiction with the prescriptive portions. Because if the basic prescriptive portion says, thou shalt not kill, but then David killed Uriah,
thou shalt not commit adultery. But then David took Bathsheba. Then you know that, okay, we are just being told honestly about David's weaknesses. But what is it that is prescriptive
that is,
for
that
me?
Is a big assumption, though, Mfundisi, because the text is quite heavy. I mean, if you're going to apply it at such a simple value, you're trusting that the reader is extremely mature and able to note and say, I know this one here is not really meaning that. Because I'll give you a good example. Let's use the one you're on the table, and I'm going to be going maybe deeper to say, how do we know if I want to understand if the Bible in totality is descriptive or prescriptive? Because you speak of Uriah and David. It's almost so clear. No, man, even what he was doing, you could see he was trying to cover up. But if you look at the text, it's speaking about how David ended up murdering this man. And you're saying that's just descriptive. Yeah. We have another story a couple of chapters back where we understand God says you must not kill, right? But he speaks to a person and says, hey, when I wake up, take your son, the only one that I've been promising you for so long, and go and murder him. Literally, that's what he says to him. Go and murder him. Go kill him as a sacrifice to me. Oh, by the way, don't follow those other gods, because they tell that their children, they tell their followers to say, you must murder your children for me. You must sacrifice your kids to me. But now I am now the one saying, go do that to me. And that's the same God. And now you're saying, is that prescriptive? Is that descriptive? Or is just telling us, no, this is what happened here. So I want to understand, Funizi, when you read the scripture in its totality, are you then submitting that it's got portions that have got prescriptive scripture, it's got portions that have got descriptive scripture? And I think that's then the gist of our study. How do you differentiate them? Because surely to just say, no, you can see, you know that this is wrong, it doesn't work, because Abraham knew killing was wrong, but he understood it as the word coming from God to not be descriptive. He is being prescriptive. Go and murder your child.
Okay. Now, as you go, in fact, I had given you three principles. There are at least eight principles.
All right.
The other principle is you take scripture, the plain reading of scripture. Take scripture plainly, if it is very clear that an allegorical meaning is intended.
All right.
That is all other books. But when you come to the book of Daniel and Revelation, we the first assumption is that meaning is symbolical, unless if it is clear that this portion is very literal. So when you are studying scripture now, when you come to such portions like the one that you have mentioned, you are now saying, what does the Bible elsewhere say about this incident, especially the Abrahamic incident, since it's the one that you have mentioned? You go to John chapter 8, and Christ says to them, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day.
Okay.
He saw it, and he was glad. And you're asking yourself, which day did Abraham see and which made him very happy?
Ooh.
The day of Christ is the day of Christ's crucifixion, because that is the day that every other patriarch was longing for. Every other person who lived in the Old Testament, they were living in anticipation of the arrival of the Messiah. Of course, they had a warped understanding of the mission of the Messiah, but they all understood that the Messiah would come. And when he would have come, he was going to usher in redemption. Though they were, you know, they misunderstood the type of redemption.
Okay.
So Abraham longed for the day of the Messiah.
All right.
Especially, all right, particularly on this day, when he was told by God that his son Isaac was now going to be the sacrificial, you know, object.
Yeah.
Abraham knew very well that sacrifices were supposed to be animals, and these animals were standing in place of the Messiah. Who was
come. Even Isaac knew this. He's like, where's the lamb? We've got everything, but where's the lamb? Yeah.
Where is the lamb? They knew that there must be a lamb, but God is saying a person. So it was a sorrowful experience for both of them.
Okay.
And then when God then said, don't kill him, look behind you, and he saw the lamb, that's where Christ is now saying, your father Abraham rejoiced and longed to see my day. He saw it on Moriah and he rejoiced. So we now know, okay, that was not prescriptive. It was allegorical. God was demonstrating something through this, if you want to call it a play. So it means we are not going to be offering our children, because the Bible itself has given us the clue that this thing was not supposed to be taken literal. It was God's demonstration of the importance of the Messiah. That's why even when you are reading Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17, it actually describes Isaac as the monogenes or the first begotten son of Abraham, but we know there was Ishmael already. So Abraham understood that Isaac in that particular incident was standing in the shoes of the Messiah. He saw the day of the Messiah, he rejoiced. So it's not saying we must all be killing our firstborn sons. No, 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 no. That was allegorical. It was intended to drive home some meaning.
Isn't that the explanation that you're now giving, Mfundisi, to try and make sense of this? I mean, we've got a comment actually coming through here. By the way, you can text us your comment, +27734703520, and let us know what your thoughts are. Or you can actually, if you're watching on the stream, YouTube, Facebook, drop a comment in the chat box there, and we'll be able to get it. It's 7:30 here as we go through the Bible perspective. Mfundisi, we've got a comment just saying, remember we'd asked, is the Bible prescriptive or descriptive in its totality? And the comment says, it's none of the above. Allow me to submit that it's not prescriptive. Otherwise, all of the times we have been faithful to God, we want to then also say, can we have our 7 times blessing? You know, like Job, you know, when he got blessed, God blessed him. In fact, the Bible says, I think, 10 times, you know. So I don't know. It becomes a challenge, Mfundisi, to say, how do you differentiate to say, no, this one here, this one is just for allegory? Because, I mean, when you read the whole scripture, in fact, that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 10 would tell you, that the things that were written, the things that are of old, are all for our example. They're allegorical for us to understand that this is what God is trying to say. But now you must then go and try and explain, okay, no, not this one here. Actually, it's just allegorical. Because one can come back and say, no, actually, it might not be talking just about Abraham seeing in foresight, in prophetic vision, the Son of God being crucified. It's more coming across as a lesson on sacrifice. When God asks us of anything, that's not homiletics now. When God asks us of anything, he is just saying you must be willing to give him whatever he asks of us. I don't know, Mfundisi. I don't know. Maybe before you come back, Pastor, we have another comment coming through. It says here, the end or ends of God's word, his law, is ultimately to build character, right? The only treasure we take from this world, that the character, that's the only thing we can cross over with to the next life. The law is not an end in and of itself. It's primarily aimed and shaping us for a loving life here on earth. Love for God and fellow men. That's the goal of it all. Vertical and horizontal planes of love. Now, because we are so many, there are so many things, rather, in the dark, God's word lay principles for us to relate better with him in loving relationship. The Bible gives us principles from each part of the Bible that help us in building a loving relationship with God and fellow men. We apply principles. We don't apply the application. Oh, profound words there. What's your take, Mfundisi?
Yeah, it's quite mouthful. It's quite mouthful. But I think what the person said right at the end summarizes what he or she has said. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That there are instances where it's the principle that you are going to apply.
Okay.
It's a prescription which needs the principle behind it to be applied. Let me give you an example. It's unfortunate I don't have my Bible close with me, but okay. It's in Deuteronomy chapter 23.
Okay, I can read. Do we have the scripture, the verse? Oh. Mm-hmm.
I wanted to have my Bible for me to put a finger on the verse.
Okay.
But it says, it's Deuteronomy 23. There are two verses that I'll give you from Deuteronomy 23. The first one says, when you are building your house, make sure you put a parapet,
okay,
right around it. So that when the carpenter is roofing, perchance he slips and falls, you will not fall straight to the ground, but the parapet will at least, you know,
hey,
minimize
the... Let me bring it down. What's a parapet?
In today's language, we call it scaffolds. During those days, they would build something that would protrude from the building, okay, like a veranda right from...
Mm-hmm.
So there were no scaffolds then. So when someone would fall, that veranda would at least, you know, minimize the length of fall, the distance from the roof to the ground. Most likely they would die. It's a rule. It's a prescription in Deuteronomy 23.
Okay.
Now we are this day and time and age we have now more advanced methods of protecting such falls.
All right.
We have got safety belts, we have got scaffolds.
Mm-hmm.
So we are not going to say, you are building a house without a parapet.
Yeah. That's
you don't follow scripture.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what we are saying. There are some prescription in scripture that need the principle behind the prescription to be applied even in our lives.
Okay.
So you need also to say to yourself, what was the principle behind this prescription? The principle was, do anything that you can do that will
save life.
That will save life.
Okay.
Another one in the same chapter, all right. Deuteronomy 23,
mm-hmm.
it says, when you are going outside your camp to relieve yourself, to help, you know, make sure you take with you a weapon, a hole. You dig a hole, you relieve yourself, and cover everything that comes out of you, because the Lord your God walks amongst your camp. He doesn't want to see any fields or dirt. Okay.
All right.
And then we are on this day and age, and someone says, we must be carrying some holes, even at our homes or near church, where we dig holes and we relieve ourselves and cover with soil or whatever.
Okay. Okay.
You know, Deuteronomy 23 says so. It's prescriptive.
All right.
But the principle behind that was, you must have the most efficient methods of fissile disposal as can be possible.
These
guys
hygiene.
Were walking, they were in the wilderness. They mm-hmm. could not build permanent toilets. But the best that could happen was to dig holes and cover.
All right.
So even in the wilderness, right there in the bush, God did not want to see human waste all over.
Mm-hmm.
So what more mm-hmm. when you are now permanently camped and staying at your own place, if you've got the best methods of disposing of human waste, then please apply that. So it's prescriptive, yes, but it's the principle behind the prescription that we need to apply.
Isn't that actually what happens? Is there ever a place where the prescription comes copy and paste in footage? Because I'm hearing as though you're saying, actually, when you're speaking there, that actually all prescriptions are about principles. Are there ever prescriptions that we must copy verbatim, even just uproot from the scripture, or Leviticus chapter what, copy, and then placed in 2024, bah, and we put it like that?
Okay. Prescriptions that are universal and timeless are copy and paste. The Ten Commandments, the Decalogue, is universal and timeless. There is nothing in the Decalogue that you can say there's a principle behind that we need to apply. If it's thou shalt not kill, there is no principle behind that. It's a straight prescription. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not honor your parents.
Okay.
Yeah, so those prescriptions are timeless and universal. Then there are prescriptions that are context and time bound. Those are the prescriptions that you need to apply the principle.
I hear you. And how do you then differentiate between just descriptions and fullness? This is what God had told them in that day and age. We don't need to apply it even today. There is no application to carry. Because I'm also coming back to my first question to say, is all scripture necessary? Are there not things that we're like, no, he told these ones. But actually today we don't need that at all.
There is no portion of scripture that we can say we don't need this one.
Huh?
Everything is there for us to learn and to benefit and to profit.
No, that's the learning part I get. The learning part I get. I'm talking about in the prescriptive part of it. I mean, there are many things that when you look at what we would term today the ceremonial law, he prescribed a lot of things, and they are not at all anything we're applying today, even from a principle basis.
Good. You're now categorizing now the prescriptions.
Yes.
The prescriptions that fall under the category of ceremonial laws, those are definite that they were time bound. When the real Lamb of God had come, no man should continue judging you over those. The Bible is clear, it explains mm-hmm. itself mm-hmm. on those. Okay?
Yeah.
Then we've got prescriptions that have to do with like health laws. Okay? The one that I have given you, disposal of human waste. Okay?
Okay.
They are... is the principle behind the prescription that we apply. We have got prescriptions that have to do with social laws, how people have to stay together. You find them in Leviticus, in Deuteronomy, even in Numbers. Okay,
mm-hmm.
There's a point where it even says, if a child misbehaves, the elders must take him, give him 32 shambooks. It specifies 32 shambooks.
okay.
Yeah. But we'll discover that in this day and age, sometimes we end up in prison, you know, for such. But the principle still remains the same. A child must be disciplined. There must be a method, acceptable method, even in our day and age, to discipline a child so that they know that what they've done is wrong. So it's a prescription which we take the principle behind the prescription. Social laws, if you wrong your neighbor, go and do this. They are all there. So we take the principle behind the social law. Then we have got the ceremonial laws. We are told that they all found their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. No man need continue to, you know, to be bickering upon those. And so we have got health laws, we've got ceremonial laws, we've got the Decalogue, which I have said that one is a copy and paste because it's universal and not context bound, not time bound. It's always as is. The moment we rightfully categorize these prescriptions, we'll not have as many challenges as we may be having.
I like that. Friends, before we go on, we've got a comment that came in to correct us and call us to order. You remember that other comment which I brought earlier on? The listener here is correcting and saying, no, it's a she. Tell him, please. And then she goes to give a scathing rebuke. Why do men assume biblical discussions are for men? Ngiyala, I'm a girl. Okay, so it's Elizabeth here, Mfundisi, saying, I'm a girl. Please don't assume because I gave a powerful point, a mouthful. I therefore am a man. Apologies.
I'm very sorry about that, but I thought I had said he or she.
Mfundisi, we want to address where we would you came across saying some of them are just retelling of accounts. So this is then what happened. Because if I've been hearing you well, prescriptions come across with almost directions, commandments, instructions. You will do this when this happens. You must do this. You must do this. Yes, they were being told to the people in that particular time, but you find yourself coming across to then say we can apply them either verbatim, like you said, with the Ten Commandments, or you can come across and apply it with the principle behind it, with the other laws that might be needing to be applied word for word. But here's the issue then. Do we then take everything else that doesn't have a direct thus saith the Lord or you must do this as then being what is falling under what we were terming as descriptive scripture? I mean you will find. Let's go back to David. I like the example since already on the table. God would find him murdering a man for his wife, and God is upset about that, and he rebukes him. And then he says to him, if you wanted more wives, I mean, I've already given you many. If you wanted more, you could have requested and I would have given you. It doesn't give any instruction to anybody. It doesn't say anything to anybody. In fact, I remember one time, imagine we get to heaven and God is so upset at us. Why didn't you guys? I mean, I gave you so many examples in scripture of how people must get more wives and you didn't do anything. Only one of you could only get one, you know. But let's leave that for another conversation. So I'm just trying to find out, Mfundisi, here it is. There is no instruction. It's just a retelling of an account. But in that retelling, God kind of hints that how would that be just then relegated to the realm of descriptive, and then maybe we can draw principles, and maybe that's a question as well. Can we draw principles from descriptive passages? They're not instructing us, they're not prescriptions given, but it's just a retelling of an account that happened, a story in the Bible. Can we draw lessons from that as well? And are those that how do you define that? Is it when there is no direct instruction that then falls into the realm of description?
Not always and not necessarily. There are other instructions that are not direct prescriptions.
Okay.
Of course, I'm trying to think of one or two, but I can't really put my mind to order right as of now. But we do have instances, even in scripture, whereby you can say, oh, okay, so if I do this, it means this may happen to me.
Mm-hmm.
So indirectly, God is actually saying, look at Samson, okay? He craved for that young lady, regardless of the parents' rebuke and advice, but he still was adamant. And Samson, actually, I've heard some other hermeneutical students saying actually Samson committed suicide. I don't really subscribe to that, though, but the fact is still the same that Samson died a very unfortunate and sad death. So what are we learning from Samson, from the descriptive narration of Samson's history?
All right. So we can draw principles from that.
The prescription is now coming to us. Yes, though very indirectly, but the lesson is...
Pastor, your line is breaking there. I don't know if you don't mind moving around a bit so that we can get you better.
Why?
Not exactly. Maybe let's try just reconnecting so that we can see perhaps it might come back a bit better. If you just joined us, you are through to the Bible Perspective right here on Adventist World Radio, SID Media. We're currently in conversation with Pastor Edward Mazorera, where we're trying to understand how to differentiate between descriptive and prescriptive scripture, and the pastor here is really going to town and guiding us to say you need to be aware of what the context is and be able to look at it from a holistic perspective. Don't read one verse and run with it and think therefore the Bible has said no. What is the scripture saying in other areas? You could find that this instruction to this person was actually talked about in detail in other areas as to how it is to be understood, and then you realize okay, it's not actually an instruction. It's actually just God giving an example of what he's saying here. So you need to be then much more of a studious person. And I think that's the bottom line of what we're trying to drive, or at least the lesson so far. Read the Bible in context and be a student of the scripture. Before you want to apply the scripture, be a student of the scripture so that you can apply then aright when you are reading. Mfundisi, welcome back. I'm hoping that you're better. We're better connected now.
Thank you. Thank you.
Much better. Much, much better.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So I was talking about the young man, Samson.
Yes.
And I was saying from the narration of his life history, which which is mainly descriptive, still we can get an indirect prescription.
Okay.
Yes, it's a narration of Samson's history, but indirectly we have a prescription. We can say, this is what God is saying. And maybe I had forgotten to say something that is very, very important, especially when it comes to studying of scripture and understanding scripture. The very first station that we should have stopped at is the reality of baggages that we all do carry as we approach scripture, and in hermeneutics we call them presumptions. Everyone who is going to read the Bible has got his or her presumptions, or presuppositions. And my presuppositions are definitely going to impact or determine the direction or the slant that I am going to take when I come to especially time-bound contextual prescriptions and descriptive narratives. For example, if my presupposition is I don't think there is anything wrong for a man to have as many wives as he can, and when I get to scripture now, because of that presupposition, I'm definitely going to see scripture as if it's saying it's okay to have many wives. So we also need to take note of that. What are my presuppositions before I open this text and start to read? And then I will be honest to myself and say, I think my presuppositions are influencing. They're leading me somewhere. But is it exactly what the Word of God would have taught? And then you need to apply all the hermeneutical principles. If you're an honest person, thoroughly and honestly seeking for the truth, then the Holy Spirit will help you even to lay off your baggage and your presuppositions so that you may see things clearly as God would have seen them.
And I think that then stands in as another principle, is it not, Mfundisi, to say when you come to Scripture, empty out, be honest. What is God wanting to say to me? And then take His Word. What do they call it in hermeneutics? I think they call it exegesis, right? Don't speak into the text. Rather,
exegesis.
Eisegesis, yes. Don't speak into the text. Rather, exegete. Let it speak to you. Don't speak to it. Yeah. And I think that's profound. For instance, you were wanting to talk to us about the young man Samson. And I think it then makes it even much more complicated. And I'm trying to look for something that is simple that we can walk away with our listeners today to say, when you talk prescriptive and descriptive, how are you going to simplify it so that you can come across and know what to apply and how to apply, rather than just read for story's sake? Or are we saying everything is not just story, even that which is descriptive must be applied? There is a principle. And maybe is that it then? That even that which is descriptive, there is principles we can learn and apply. But that which is prescriptive, we need to take that and apply. I don't know. Help me, Mfundisi.
Okay, thank you. Like I said before, everything that God inspired to be in this book
is helpful for
somehow is for our profit. Yes,
yeah.
It has to benefit us. But now it comes to a point where we say, okay, fine. How then do I apply these things so that they are of benefit to me? Ultimately, the ultimate goal is for all of us to be saved.
Yeah.
So we have tried to outline certain principles that you can apply, but I think I would say, when you're dealing with prescriptive issues, you should know that they also fall into their own categories. We don't have a straight jacketed prescriptive. Yeah.
Okay.
They are prescriptive, but there are some prescriptions that need to be understood in their context and time. Mm-hmm. Who said this to who? What had happened? Why did they do that? Where did these guys sleep? What did they eat during those days? What was their clothing like? You know, so that when the text now says a man must not wear a woman's clothing, neither must a woman wear men's clothing. I've heard, you know, like I was telling you of presuppositions. Mm-hmm. The moment I read that text and it says a man must not wear women's clothing, because of my context, the way I grew up and how I was socialized, for me, woman's clothing is a skirt and a dress, men's clothing is a trouser. So I hear that text saying a man must not wear a skirt and a woman must not wear a trouser. That's what I hear, because I've chosen to ignore the context and the people, the primary recipients of that text. Even I've even chosen to ignore the original language of that text.
Yeah.
I'm based on translations and all those. I don't want to delve into the interpretation of that text, but I'm saying all those things need to be looked into. This prescription, is it time-bound? Is it context influenced or it's a straight-jacketed prescription that must be taken as is? And like I said, we are safe only if we consider like the Decalogue to be universal and timeless.
Okay.
But the most, if not all, of the other prescriptions, you need to look into the context and ask yourself, is there any underlying principle that I now need to apply to this prescription? Okay. It's not everything that is prescriptive that is going to be taken as is. You need to consider the time, you need to consider the context, you need to consider the primary recipients.
Yeah.
What was life during that time? What would it have meant to those people in that time? What does it mean to me in this time and age? And then that way you can apply correctly and profitably.
Thank you so much, Mfundisi. Mfundisi, I want us to come back and talk about, maybe as we, I see our time has first left us, draw to the close. I want us to understand the idea and the concept of some of the dangers that we might face when we try to demarcate scripture into description and prescription and apply the principles that we've learned this evening. But before we do that, we've got a voice note that came through on our WhatsApp line. I'm going to just play that for us, Mfundisi, so that we can address the comment coming through from the listener.
Okay.
Good evening. Happy Sabbath to you guys. Well, we're still chilling. We probably have about, it's 6 o'clock. We still have about 4 hours of sunlight. So allow me to say, yes, you can draw principles from descriptive passages. However, the caution would be to always be careful not to run away with the text. The reason why I say this is because, especially the example that our dear host here chose to use, the one about David, I've always heard it being used as evidence for polygamy. But when you look at that Bible verse, God doesn't mention wives and concubines only. He mentions the victories. He mentions the materials. And then in the middle of all these things that he's mentioning, God says, oh, by the way, I even gave you your master's concubines. If that were not enough, I would have given you more. Now, allow me to say, we read into texts quite a lot, and that's one of the most common ones that I strongly believe we read into. Because for me, God is saying, I gave you all of this, the things that when I looked at you, I knew you would desire, I knew your heart would yearn and long for. And if there's anything I could have added to this list, I would have given you. So in my understanding, it doesn't necessarily mean, hey, if you wanted 20 more wives, I would have given you 20 more wives. It's more the sum totality of God saying, whatever your heart was going to yearn for, I was going to give it to you. So,
oh, wow.
For me, sorry, I have a toddler. So for me, that's the caution I would throw to say, look, you can find principle, yeah, but as long as that principle that you find isn't based on running away with the text.
Mfundisi, they say don't run away with the text.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, this is becoming more interesting because we are getting powerful contributions from ladies. I hope I
so true. don't call them men, Mfundisi.
Yeah. You know, it's so, what she's saying is so theologically sound. So theologically sound. And I do hope if all students of scripture would have such an attitude, I don't think we'll be hitting into a lot of challenges and problems that we are facing, especially this day and age. So theologically sound. Please don't just run away with the text.
Calm down,
sit down, ask the necessary questions, dig deep, look into other examples. Ask yourself, what is it that God wants me to do in this situation? What does the scripture in its totality would have said? Is what I'm doing right? If you are still in doubt, then let the Holy Spirit speak to you. That will be the ultimate guide and lead.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. Mfundisi, my time is fast spent. I think in two minutes, talk to us, Pastor, about some of, and I think Elizabeth already, Linda had already addressed some of the issues to say, don't run away with the text, right? You find one text is saying something, especially tickling your fancies, your presuppositions, you run away with it. This is what the Bible says. We see a lot of these, right? Talk to us then about some of the dangers that we must be aware of and we must be careful in guarding ourselves against.
I think the first danger that we need, every Bible student must always be conscious of, is the impact of presuppositions. That one, if you're not careful, we are, each and every one of us is going to end up having his or her own interpretation, which is influenced by his or her own presuppositions. That's the first pitfall that we need to take care of. Let's be honest to ourselves. Let's be very sincere when you're approaching scripture. Let's be honest with God. God, you know what? I actually think you're not being fair to us Africans by not allowing us to stay with our wives. And I now want to read your script. Please help me to understand your will. We need to be honest with ourselves when it comes to presuppositions. Then also we need to be honest to ourselves when it comes to applying underlying principles behind certain prescriptions.
Okay.
Not all prescriptions are to be taken, literally and copy and paste.
Yeah.
Most of the prescriptions, they've got underlying principles that need to be applied. Let's make sure we dig deep into the context, the time setting, the people, what they were doing, so that we are able to say, okay, this is the principle that God would have wanted us to take home with. Then also let us not tamper with the straight-jacketed prescriptions. We can never and should never mix those with the prescriptions that you've got underlying principles. Yes.
Like that. The straight jacket prescriptions. That is profound. Mfundisi, appreciating your time once again, but we'll have to then leave it there. I'm going to then allow you then, Pastor, to say, when all is said and done, what would be the final thoughts you'd want to leave with the listener?
I want to say, let's not be scared of studying scripture. There are a lot of theological terms that are high sounding. Please don't worry about those. Like I was telling you, so scriptura sui, ipsius, what.
Yeah, you scared our listeners, them for this.
Even the simplest of the simplest man who is honest and thirsting for the truth, the Holy Spirit is there to guide us. Amen. So let us make the Bible our favorite book and text. God will help us if we are sincere.
God will help us if we are sincere. Thank you so much, Mfundisi. I think that is profound and it's nice and clear to the point. If you are willing, God is willing. Please pray for us, Pastor, and our listeners, that as we go out there applying, reading first God's word, we might understand. We might then dissect. I mean, that's what the call to Timothy is, right? To dissect it properly, to Titus, to dissect it properly and be a workman needing not to be corrected. Pray for us, Mfundisi, that we have that kind of a spirit as we read. And we're not just lazy surface readers. Pray for us.
Amen. Shall we pray? Our Father in heaven, we want to thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to discuss and help each other on how we can best understand your word. We know your word is not like any other printed and written material. Oh, yes. This is inspired material and it needs guidance and wisdom that comes from above. May you, O Lord, bless those that find time each and every time and day to study your word. May you be by their side as much as you moved the men that you wrote. May you also enlighten those that desire to understand. Help us to be sincere and honest each and every time we approach your word, and allow your Holy Spirit, that small voice, may we allow that small voice to lead us and guide us into all truth. Thank you, Father, for this moment. We do pray that we have not confused your saints. Should we have done something that is a result of our shortcomings, may the Holy Spirit be there to make perfect everything. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Pastor Mazzarella, my God bless you. Thank you so much for spending the evening with us, guiding us in principles and applications of God's word. May God bless you and your family and your ministry. Until next time, thank you so much, Mfundisi. Happy Sabbath.
Thank you. Same to you. Same to the listeners. It was a pleasure.
Amen.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.